Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which is on a mission to make America think again, because it's what happens in the shadows, folks, that makes the world go round. And we're not going to tell you how to feel or who to vote for. We're just going to bring forth the experts to explain things as they see them from behind the scenes in the hope that it gives you the information that you need to make the right decisions. Because a vote is a terrible thing to waste. And we're going to, tonight, since it's the last show of the year, next week we will probably play Christmas music because it's right after Christmas. And we'll do something just before New Year's. But right now, this is going to be me and my amazing co-host, Liberty Jones, talking about the year in the past. And I think next week, actually, we're going to, Liberty and I will pick some of our best shows from the past year, and we'll try to play clips from each one of them if we can. But for tonight, we're just going to talk about what's going on with us and what our hopes for the future are, what our disappointments are. And also, we encourage anybody that has any ideas out there to call in at 888-627-6008 and give us your opinions. We'll post that again as the show goes on. But let me start by welcoming my amazing co-host, Liberty Jones, who's on assignment somewhere in the world. We don't even know where the hell she is. What's going on, Liberty? How are you?
Hi, Senator Brown. I'm doing great today. Excited for this holiday season. How are you?
Fine. The same. And let me say, whether you celebrate Kwanzaa or Christmas or Hanukkah, we wish this is a season of peace. And let's hope that we're all at peace and we're all with our families and we all are appreciative of all the things that we have in life. And I know you're there, Liberty. Let me start before we start the show. Let me just do a brief shout out to a guy who unfortunately passed away, Paul Harrison, who was on our show, as you know, Liberty, not long ago, unfortunately passed away. And Paul was one of the good guys. You know, Paul was a guy that was just out there trying to make the world a better place for him and his family and his children and the rest of us. He was an activist. He was a farmer. He was a truck driver. He was a drummer, just like Senator Brown. I consider myself a drummer, even though I'm not very good at it. And he was just a wonderful guy. And our thoughts are with Tamara, his wife, who started, by the way, Iowans for DC Statehood. He and his wife, Tamara, did that. And our thoughts are with her and with his family and the rest of his friends. Paul, you were really one of the very best. Now let's get on and talk. What's your big disappointment for this year, Liberty?
My big disappointment for this year. Wow. Where do I start?
Anywhere you want.
I would honestly, I mean, I don't know if this counts, but I'm still rooting for Kamala Harris, to be honest with you. I think seeing how that prevailed was my biggest disappointment.
Well,
what about you?
I don't think she has a chance at this point,
but
keep hope alive. You know, the first senator from DC used to say, keep hope alive. So God bless you for that. Well, one of my big disappointments is that I've yet to win the $1.6 billion in the Powerball lottery.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah,
hey,
it's
there's
tough,
always next year.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I think my biggest disappointment is just seeing the direction our country is headed in. Not so much the specific acts like renaming the Kennedy Center, the Trump Kennedy Center. I mean, how ridiculous is this? Our president doesn't even have the right to do that. Or ripping off half of the White House so he can build himself a monument, or all the immigration problems. But the whole idea that we're headed down a path of which is anti-democratic, in my opinion. Now, we're really doing serious structural damage to our democracy, and that's what bothers me more than anything. So given that these things have happened, I guess my hope is that we can change things in 2026. So what's your great hope for 2026, besides graduating at the top of your class and whatever else you want to do in life? I know you have a lot of great goals.
I do. I have a lot. I have a lot of things that I would dream to achieve in 2026. But I think my greatest dream for next year is for, honestly, and I don't want this to sound cliche, but truly for the people to be united again. Because I think what the United States had that was so powerful was unity for all. And I think that the division nowadays isn't just destroying the country and isn't just, limiting democracy, but it's also painting a terrible picture to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world really looks up to us. And so I really hope that we find some sense of unity, even if there are still things out of our control that are happening for the terrible goals of people in power who we cannot control. I really hope that amidst all of this pain, we find it community and we find a sense of unity with each other. I think that's what I miss the most, is people not being scared of their political affiliation and that not having to be life or death. I wish we could just walk up to each other and not be afraid of being Trump supporters or Democrats. And everything has become so volatile that I think there is really no sense of unity overall in the country. What do you think? Would you agree with that?
No, I think that's so important, and I think it's something that people don't realize. When Trump says, for example, when the president says America first, he really means America only, and that's what it sounds like to the world. And I don't think people understand that. I read something this week that really surprised me. I saw this clip where President Macron of France went and joked with the Prime Minister of Azerbaijan. I can't even pronounce it, Azerbaijan, but you know what I'm saying. But anyway, Trump supposedly ended a war that never existed. And he went up to the Prime Minister and he said, something to the effect of, "I hope you're happy that the war's over." And they all got together and laughed. But that's the thing. It's not only that people are think that we're no longer the shining city on the hill, but they think this guy's a buffoon.
Well, he is.
So, how does, yeah, and he is, and how does this help us? The leader of the free world, it really bothers me as somebody, Liberty, that's worked in politics for 40 years and seen both sides of it, seen the worst of it and seen the best of it, that we have a man whose words mean so much in the president, and he makes fun of Rob Reiner and his wife being stabbed to death. That he tells Charlie Kirk's widow that oh, maybe she forgives the guy that killed him, but he doesn't forgive his enemies. He doesn't forgive his, I mean, it's horrible that this man stands up there. And we've gone from ask not what your country can do for you to I'm Donald Trump and I'm everything. And it's embarrassing. It makes us look bad on the world stage. This idea that people in the middle of the country have that we can stand alone in the world is crazy.
It
No
is.
one country can cure climate change. Nobody can cure climate change unless we all get together and work on it, because climate is everywhere. And I don't know why people don't get it, But I got to tell you, one of the reasons that Liberty Jones is on the show, besides being brilliant, is the fact that I wanted the perspective of younger people because I think as Democrats, we've lost these people in our camp. We've lost young people to people like Joe Rogan and some of these other people that only speak half truths and often don't know what they're talking about. So I know Liberty and I know what kind of person she is, and I wanted her input because you give me great faith in the future. And there are other young people that give me great faith in the future, but I'm also very fearful of things. So what do you want to do? How about we make you president of the United States for a day? What's the first thing you want to do?
Okay, well, the first thing I would do is a renovation of the White House. You know what
And well, I would hope the first thing is to make sure I won the $1 billion lottery, but no,
Yeah,
okay.
oh, of course. You know, I think the first thing I would do is I would call the press, all of them, and I would be like, line up, guys, I have a message for the people. And I would ask them to go to the National Portrait Gallery and walk down through all of the murals of the presidents of America. And I would want them to start at the National Founding Fathers. You know, this is not a very action-oriented thing, but I do believe that perspective is what drives your actions in this life. So I would ask them to take this walk, start in the beginning, Founding Fathers, and notice how politics in the US went from something of prestige. Went from something of inspiration, of working together. Obviously, it's one president, but the executive branch is the largest branch out of the three. It needs the most people there to support it. And I would ask them to really notice that, how all of these men, there were no red ties, there were no blue ties. It was prestige, policy, and esteem that was able to find a country that for around 200 years was the world's greatest superpower. And then, you know, when we start going into the TV eras, things get a little more colorful. People start implementing different colored ties, for example. And now, if you look at Trump's gal portrait, which is not even there yet, but I can't even imagine what it's going to be like, it's all celebrity works. For the media, it has nothing to do with actual politics and economy and structure and development, which is what this country, this democracy was built on, helping the greater good. It has nothing to do with that. It's all, okay, what can I say that will get me the most views so that Kamala's gonna cry, so that I can kill whoever I want and I'll get somebody to back me up? And I think, you know, obviously we're stuck with this position where the whole world is laughing at us because we've elected a celebrity. Have you ever watched the show, What Money, Money, Money? That was his theme song. I mean, come on now. There must be a reason why we're starting this huge renovation after seven bankruptcies. I don't know, you know? So that's what I would ask for. I would ask for people to really sit down with themselves and think about how much we've strayed away from what the premise of the plot was actually supposed to be. I know Twitter is really fun, and I know echo chambers can keep you awake way past your bedtime, but when people are starving out there, I think it's really important to revisit, you know, what it is exactly that we wanted to achieve as a nation. That's what I would do.
Well, I think that's an interesting perspective, and I think that's a great idea. I think that, you know, because let's look at this guy, compare him to George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, or, you know, I mean, maybe that's what people will realize when they see Trump Kennedy Center. Maybe they'll say, you know, these two guys, their names should not even be ever echoed in the same sentence, given the type of people that they were. You know, that President Kennedy swam out from his wrecked PT boat every day into shipping lanes to save the people of his crew that were shipwrecked during the Second World War. I remember that PT-109, which was his boat, was one of the first books I ever read when I was in elementary school. And it was about courage, and it was about honor, and it wasn't about money. It It wasn't about glitz. It wasn't about personality. It was, as you so astutely say, it was about substance. It was about who you were and what needed to be done and how you could help. And let me just reiterate here, because Liberty Jones can't be the only brilliant young person in America. So if you're out there and you have an idea, our call-in number is 888-627-6008. Let us know what you think. But I think you're exactly right. I think look back at history and look what we've been. And look, like I said when we started, I worry about the trajectory we're on, because as you point out, we were always on an upward trajectory. Now all of a sudden it seems that our democracy is going downhill. And I'd like to know what other people think about this.
Yeah,
But
it's a
go
really
ahead.
interesting situation because, I think politics do fluctuate. I think there are patterns. You have the regression and then the progression. But what we're dealing with now is truly a new wave of technology and the effects of that. Like JFK, it's really interesting that it is Trump Kennedy because Kennedy was also somewhat of a celebrity, So
Yes, he was.
it's really interesting that they do have this big branding, right? But it's really just a new wave of technology coming about and a reflection of that. And so I don't know. Do you think that America will come back from this?
I hope, and I think that again, you bring up a brilliant point that AI is really scary, because all the things that you talk about can be exacerbated by AI. AI
Yeah.
has great potential to do things like cure disease, but it also has great potential to become autocratic and despotic.
Yeah.
So we really have to be careful with that. And I hope that we can recover, Kennedy used to say, now that we're on the subject, used to say to you talk about his celebrity, he would say, to that who much is given, much is expected. Whereas Trump doesn't say that. Trump says to that who much has been given, much is deserved. Not much is expected. Much is, he just told us he's the greatest president. He just gave a speech the other day. He's the greatest president in the history of the world. His economic policy is A plus plus plus. And
Who is he
I got
trying
to
to prove
be,
that? Who is he proving that to?
I don't know. He thinks if you say it enough that people will believe it. And it's strange. As Liberty, I have now become a refugee, and I'm hiding out on an island in the Chesapeake Bay with Mrs. Brown. But I talk to people down here, and they say things to me like, "Well, I remember when you could walk the streets of Washington, and it wasn't crime ridden." I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about? I lived there for 35 years, and I never locked my front door during the day. I left it open all day long. There was no crime in my neighborhood. This is all a myth that they're making up. Crime is down by 30% in the District of Columbia. But people believe it because they've heard it enough times, I think. And I think that's what he thinks. He thinks if he just says it enough times, that people will say, yeah, they'll hear it so many times and think it's true. And as you've already pointed out, the internet has changed everything. I
It
don't care
has.
what silly ass idea you come up with in the world, you can find other people on the internet that agree with
Yeah.
and it's crazy. So what, are the things that you think about in your personal life the things that we thought about when I was your age, when, having a family, buying a house, having a good career? Are these all still the goals, or have those changed, you think, over time for America?
I think over the span of your life, America has become a lot more capitalistic, a lot more GDP oriented. I don't know. I think, what year were you born, if you don't mind me asking?
1953.
1953. So that was the peak, really, of, look at all these cereal boxes in the supermarket. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
I think that since then, things have really gotten really messy. So I have a lot more on my mind, definitely. And it's also, I now have the availability to see how the entire world is doing from my fingertips. So
Yeah.
there's a lot more that I want. There's a lot more that I'm scared of. And I think that's really what it is. And I think it's become a lot more, money oriented, especially because maybe social media is out there and people are constantly comparing themselves, but also because we have the, billionaire in our White House. So obviously money does rule the economy. And I think that's something that a lot of people, back in the day, you would find a job that you were specialized in, something that, you were good at. My father was an iron presser. So I'm gonna go into that. Maybe. I don't really know. I wasn't there, but I think it was something like that. Nowadays, if you have the privilege of getting a college education, the last thing you're gonna want to study is something like art or theater. Because if you study art or theater, ooh, your grandparents are gonna look at you with a face knowing that you're not gonna be
Right.
able to sustain yourself. So I think we've really strayed away from just finding a job and just buying a house to how can I make as much money as I can possible so that I can buy a Lamborghini and post it online, and that's not how I feel about things, but I think that's a rising consensus that I observe through my screen and through the world as well. I think we talk about this a lot, but I think because we have a lot more, I don't know, accessibility to journalism, for example, I have a lot of bigger dreams as well. Like, I want to save the world. I think most people want that, right? So I don't know. But yeah, what was it like for you at the time? Do you think there's differences, or do you think it was the same narrative but in a different font?
Well, first of all, you've ruined it for me because now when I win $1 billion, I won't be able to post my Lamborghini on the internet or I'll feel guilty about it. But yeah, I don't know. In some ways it was, in some ways it wasn't, just to be honest with you. People, somebody asked me when my activism started, and I said, well, it started when I was a teenager because at 18 years old, I was subject to be sent to Vietnam to kill people that I had no problem with. I mean, I was 1A draft status and I went and I protested the war. And I said, even to be honest with you, I used to think that a bunch of us would get together and go protest the war because that's what we did, and that's where you met girls, right?
Oh,
Right.
I
Yeah. And just to be honest about it and so it wasn't all like altruistic, like us chaining ourselves to the front of the White House or whatever. But so I think there were some concerns where we're concerned more about the world and more about the future of our country. Now I'll say, to be honest with people like you that are younger, that it was easier for us because we never worried about the things you worry about. I never worried about getting a good job. I thought if I got a college education, that I would just find whatever path I wanted to go on, and it would work out for me that I did what was expected of me, and so I would be rewarded for that. I never worried about whether I was going to own a home or not, even though my parents never owned a home. I mean, I grew up broke in life. I was never poor, thank God, but we were always broke. And we never owned a home, barely ever owned a car. But, I never doubted that those things would happen for me, yeah, and I was brought up in the first generation, you're right, of TV where we thought everything we saw we wanted. We all wanted to be cool. We all wanted to fit in. I remember getting in an argument with my wife, with my wife, with my mother, what a Freudian slip that was, with my mother, who I grew up in Newark, New Jersey, and she got in a fight with me because she didn't know why I had to spend $9.95 to buy a pair of Chuck Taylors rather than $4.99 to buy a pair of Keds. And I had to explain to her that if you wore Keds, you got beat up every day because you weren't cool. You had to wear the cool sneakers, you know? So we were into that. We were into to trying to, you know, it's funny. We all used to have long hair. I should push the picture of me with long hair. My hair came down to the middle of my back at one point. And my sister used to say, I have no problem with long hair. You just look stupid with long hair. So, you know, thank God you have family to straighten you out, right? So I look at pictures of me now with long hair and I'm like, damn, I look stupid. But we all had long hair so that we could be different by being alike, by looking like everybody else between the ages of 16 and 25. You know, we all wore tore up Levi jeans and, you know, and you know, we were anti-establishment, even though all of us copped out and we became establishment. You know, so we worried about being cool, we worried about fitting in, but many of the things that I think people your age probably need to worry about, health care, housing, you know, livelihood, we never worried about. And AI, how many jobs is AI going to get rid of? I mean, it's just, it kills me that you can't even pay a parking lot attendant anymore. You got to go to the machine and pay the money before you leave. You know, they're eliminating as many jobs as they can. And that really is the purpose of business, is always to be more efficient and to make more money. But go ahead.
Well, I agree with everything you're saying. I think that we're living in a world where we're just squirrels running around in a little hamster circle to make sure that all of these producers can maximize their goal of profit. And it's really unfortunate because they're, you know, even though, yes, you know, I agree with that. You were the peak of the hippie movement as well. Like, what is it? Power, more power to you, less power to the man. I know where you come from.
Power to the people. Yes.
Yes, power to the people. But I think that's a valuable perspective to have nowadays when robots are richer than people.
Yeah, it's crazy. And how, you know, as a woman, as a young woman, how, you know, things have changed so much for women. My older sister, who was 10 years older than me, so she was born before the Second World War was over. She was one of a handful of women that graduated from GW Law School. I mean, just like maybe 10 women in her graduating class. Now, GW graduates. I mean, I don't know that this is true at this moment, but a few years ago, I read where they graduated more women from law school than they did men. So, how do you think these changes are they helping you? Do you feel liberated? Do you feel like you can do whatever you want and you no longer have to deal with the kind of sexist nonsense that, oh, guys like Donald Trump perpetuate?
So that's a good question. I definitely think that the times are a lot more equal, but I do think that movement and, you know, social progression is like a pendulum. So if you think about the movements you had around you in your time, do you think that they really achieved a lot, or did they just make it easier to mask things that were wrong? So, I'll give you a little example because this is a confusing thought, but I was just speaking to my grandmother. She is very familiarized. She's been researching about this, about the real estate situation in New York City, okay? And she has discovered that all of the realtors in New York have to once a month go through a type of diversity exam, where they're able to make sure that everybody is included, Great, great. New York apparently has the longest list of people that need to be included. So, you have women, gays, the disabled, blind, all of those types of diversity things, aspects. Anyways, and at the same time, you have a board in New York City that controls, I'd say, like 50% of the buildings, and they don't have any diversity training. They're just a board that sit up there and approve whether you can actually enter condominiums or not. And so you have these realtors who are actually working for probably the working class and who have to pass all of these systems, who are not allowed to discriminate, which is great, but they're also not allowed to say, hey, there's this board who is going to tell you you can't live here because of who you are, but I'm not allowed to tell you that because that would be me discriminating against you as well. So it's a really messy situation there right now. This is a minor example of what I'm trying to articulate, but it's a very messy situation because in hopes of being more respectful towards diversity, you are actually hiding the people who are not being accepting towards diversity. That's what's happening in the underground housing market. And I thought that was a really interesting article that she brought to light for me. But I think that even though now I walk into an office and I feel very empowered, I feel like I am meant to be there, where, 50 years ago, it was not the case at all. I've read Teen Vogue from the 40s, very disappointed that I need lipstick to find a man, but that's okay. At least that has changed. Or has it just become masked? Because I still see the same ads with the same underlying messages, but just in a way where you really have to nitpick it to understand what's going on. So I don't know. I really do appreciate the progress that's going on. And I definitely feel empowered to walk into any setting as a young woman. But I still know that there are people there who are not going to look at me in the same way. And I'm not too sure if it's easier for them to hide in the shadows nowadays than it was back then, or if they're actually trying to create better.
Well, you
What
know what? I mean, I think that's a great example. And I think that I feel that I felt the same thing about race relations, that we all talked the game and we all talked about equality, and especially my generation. But now we've come to a point where I'm 72 years old, and you know what? We're out there deporting brown and black people. We're killing Venezuelans. We have our president saying, gee, why can't we get some more of the nice white people from Norway and Sweden instead of all, you know what, so have we really dealt with racism in America when we see the horrible things that have happened in recent years? Have we really dealt with this? I thought that many times, have we just shoved it under the rug, that it's politically incorrect to talk about it, so we don't talk about, we say we're all for it, and we say we're all, it's all about bringing everybody together. But you know what? I still go out, I notice that I don't see a lot of interracial couples. I mean, I know that when I was a boy, hard to believe this, when I was a young man, there was somebody that was put in jail in Virginia because he married a black woman. Or
Wow.
was it the other way? Yeah, I think maybe it was a white woman that married a black man. And so yes, yeah, certainly we've come a distance. But have we really come as far as we think we have? Which I think is exactly what you were saying, and I agree 100%. Now, I don't know what it's like to be a woman, even though my children tell me that they think I'm gay, and I just haven't accepted it, because I like Broadway musicals and I like to interior decorate. But anyway, it's I don't know how you feel as a woman, but I see it when I look at how far black people have come and realize how far they still have to go. And you know, and it's horrible. I think when I say I worry about the path our democracy's on, that's exactly what I mean, that we have a president that says ridiculous crap like, excuse my language, like we need more people from Norway and Sweden. You know, we don't have enough, you know, I don't know, yogurt in our lives or something. But you know, and you know, I just don't get why we can't stand up as a nation and deal with some of these problems head on. You know that, and I think you're right. I think the advertisers have gotten more sophisticated. You know, like I saw a recent commercial, old commercial, where it was some product for women, hairspray or lipstick or something. They were saying the next boy might be the right boy, and that's what you want. You want to attract that next boy. Now I think they're still saying that, but they're just more sophisticated in the way they say it, you know.
Absolutely.
I think you're absolutely right. And you know, it's it and I'm an old man. I've got children, I've got adult female children who are older than you, and you know, I want them to get married and give me grandchildren, the lazy people that they are. But you know, I also want them to be happy and I want them to be secure. And I think focus, what you said earlier, I think we focus on the wrong things. We focus on getting our children into an Ivy League school rather than getting them into a school that fits them
Yeah.
and leads them down the path that they want to go on and where they fit. You know, we care about how much money they make. My daughter has a good job. She makes, you know, six-figure income rather than my daughter has a great job. She's happy. You know,
Yeah.
she loves what she does. And you know, Mrs. Brown just retired from being a teacher. I don't know why anybody would want to be a teacher anymore. It's become so difficult. And part of the reason is we don't support them the way we did, you
Yeah.
know? Yeah, Mrs. Brown was not allowed to yell at a student. I mean, if a teacher slapped me when I was in school, the first thing my mother would say when I came home to complain about it, what did you do? She would have never taken my side against the teacher because she knew that it was important to support them in the job they did. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think we've just gotten more sophisticated, and AI will become even more sophisticated. It's just in its infancy. It hasn't even started to work yet, and I've seen changes. For example, I moved recently. And 3 days after I got to my new address, my insurance company wrote me and said, the post office has advised us that you change your address, update your records. You know, so there's this interaction between business and government that worries me terribly.
Me too. You know, that's a really interesting point because I think that we've kind of reached a point where we no longer survival for us, our kind, us humans, our sapient kind. Survival is no longer go out there and find me a chicken. Survival now is okay, how can I pass this exam so that I can get this job so that I can do this? To the point where now we our demand as consumers is literally intelligence. We are buying brain capacity. Artificial intelligence. It's crazy. It's a crazy concept that we have to buy intelligence to keep up with the demands that are being made in this current economy. And that's what concerns me the most, is that we're no longer sustaining ourselves. You know, we've reached a point where to survive, you need to buy intelligence now because the way you are isn't enough. Our dreams and goals as producers have reached a new standard. That's how I view it. And I think that's what, you know, reflecting it towards the political situation, the current political situation of our country, I think that's what makes it the most upsetting, is that we have somebody standing in power in such a prestigious position, making a fool out of the country, making a fool out of the value and importance of intelligence. When I was little, I truly believed knowledge is power. I feel like if I said that now, there'd be a majority of people to think I was arrogant for that statement. And so I think it's really sad that we've gotten to a point where we have to buy intelligence, where we can't develop ourselves, where we need to replace that with a technology to be able to fit into the society we created for ourselves. I don't know. But my question to you on that subject is, with all of this kind of, I guess, manipulation or stretching of the truth for people in power to get what they want, we keep hearing about these Epstein files. We keep hearing about it. We keep hearing about partial releases, sealed names, parts of the files that are blacked out. Do you believe that in this specific instance, the full truth will ever come out? What are your thoughts on that? Because I've been seeing a lot of new images surfacing my desk this past week, and I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I really am doubtful, yes, that the whole truth will come out, at least now. I mean, I don't even think we still know the whole truth about other places where government officials were involved. Look at the Kennedy assassination. They sealed the records for 50 years, and now they're open, and we still don't know all the facts about that. So I think no, I don't think we'll know all the facts. But my question to you is how important is this to you? I mean, look, this is my feeling. My feeling is that you have to be half brain dead to not understand that if somebody came up to Donald Trump 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and said, "Hey, look, you want to have some illicit sexual activity with pretty teenage girls," that he would have said, "Oh, hell no. That's not who I am." You know? I mean, yeah, my humble opinion about him is he probably would have said something like, "The more illicit, the better." You know? And right? And so my question to you is, how much do you think this matters to the American people? Do you think it matters? Look, none of us want to see children abused. None of us want to see, none of us stand for pedophilia. And certainly it's a horrible, horrible thing. But do you think they really care about this in the cosmic scheme of things? Or are the Democrats going down the wrong road again? They went down the wrong road with Stormy Daniels. Nobody gave a damn about Stormy Daniels. You know, he lied about it. He was, but I think there's so many people out there saying the guy had an affair. And he lied to his wife about it. Oh, yeah. We don't know anybody that's ever done that. And I encourage the Democrats not to go down. I said, this guy's done so many horrible things. He's murdering Venezuelans, for Christ's sake. These people are in the Caribbean, headed in the opposite direction of the United States. Fentanyl comes over the border. It doesn't come into seaports in little motorboats. He's just doing this to look like a tough guy. And we're worried about what happened 20 years ago with this guy and with Epstein. And I don't think we'll ever know all the facts because there are too many powerful people involved. But I wonder how important it'll be in the cosmic scheme of things. Is it important to you to know?
So that's a really interesting question because, on one hand, well, yes, this is just going to create another loophole. It's honestly going to distract the media even more. For all we know, we're looking at this picture of Michael Jackson and he's over there killing 50 people on his yacht. We have no idea, right? But I think it actually is important because I think that the more that is exposed, the more information that comes to light, the more we truly realize how silencing power really is. And human trafficking is something that I've personally always been very passionate about. My mom, from a young age, always told me stories and taught me lessons on how to not get trafficked and how to know the signs. And her friend's husband was a police officer. He, when we lived in South Florida, he broke out a case of, I think, nearly a million young girls. Nobody heard about it in the news, not one person. So for me, human trafficking has always been the most horrible abuse of power coming from an evil place of selfishness, something that shouldn't be attainable if we were meant to be the human beings that God planned for us, Jesus. But that's why I think this is so important, because the more information that comes to light, the more people are able to see truly how much power can be abused. So for a population that loves clickbait politics that elected him, they're really gonna probably come to some opinions about these images they're seeing. I think it's also really interesting that President Bush is in most of them, because I think it's really kind of a reflection. We're looking at Trump right now and uncovering this information from 30 years ago. But what if we were looking at that information 30 years ago and we had Bush right there, So I think it's really important, because it honestly makes me really happy that justice still prevails, even in times like these, where it seems that power is not only unattainable but unreachable, unmovable. And I think it's morally one of the worst things you can do. Is it's worse than killing someone, because I think if Trump going out there murdering all these people, you took their lives and their families will be distraught, but you kind of let them down easy in comparison to taking a young woman who has the world ahead of her and making her your toy because you just got a new check from daddy's money. I think that is something that is just immeasurable in terms of morality. I think the world needs to know. I think it's of great importance that this justice does prevail, because I think something as interesting, oh, look, Michael Jackson is in this, all these celebrities, all these important people. I think it'll really grab the attention of the media that loves clickbait politics and really helps them see, hey, power has reached a new level of abuse, but it's been happening for 30 years. Look at Bush. So I really hope it does open eyes. I really hope it does change perspectives. And I think in that level, there is a sense of importance. Would you agree? Who do you think benefits the most from cases like these, and whether it be delays or successes?
Well, I worry about the distraction that you talk about, that this distracts us from things. That's the only thing. But yes, of course, I don't want to see children abused. I sit on the board of directors of an international organization that's against female genital mutilation, as strange as that is to talk about, because it's so prevalent in some countries. And it really is a terrible form of child abuse, in my opinion, because they do this to young girls, but in certain religions. So yeah, I'm very much against it, but I worry about the whole distraction factor. And I'll tell you what, one thing that you just said that restores my faith a little bit is that your mother talked to you about all this stuff and made you wary of it, because you're a very open person, Liberty. I've been around you. You reach out to people constantly and they reach back to you. They respond very positively to you because of that. You're very open. But so it's nice to know, because I always worry about making my kids paranoid. The whole stranger danger thing used to bother me, that they taught little girls, because I said, 99% of people like children. Do we have to scare all our children to protect them from that 1% of horrible people that are out there, or whatever small percentage it is? But and a shout out to my daughter Mary Brown, who used to think it was funny when I would hug her in front of elementary school to say that. She would go, "Stranger danger," and three women would look over at me like they were going to come over and rip my throat out, and I would say, "That's not funny, honey." But you know what I mean? I used to worry, are we making our kids too paranoid about, are they going to be scared? And it's nice to know that you were prepped, because I think that you are just a lovely, open person, and the world would be a better place if people were more like you. So it's good to hear that, and Yes, I agree. I agree that this is a horrible thing, and maybe it will help shed some light on what we can do to keep young women safe. I think what the best thing we could do is to make in preschool to teach each one of them karate, make black belts out of them before they hit puberty. And maybe they'll be able to
That's
defend themselves.
exactly the problem. That's exactly the problem. Why do we have to keep, this is a problem I have with in terms of environmental justice as well. Why do we have to teach women to defend themselves? Why can't we teach the abusers to control themselves? That's because they're in power. So moments like these, when justice prevails, is really when it's beautiful. Why do we have to teach people that property law should be used differently when it's the people that need to be controlled, not the land? You know what I mean? That's a problem that I keep having. It's like we're on damage control. What about the source of the issue?
That's an excellent point. That it really is. But yeah, you shouldn't have the victims shouldn't have to defend themselves. We should be able to defend them by controlling the men that are perpetrators. I absolutely agree. And it's not just for men. Let's look at this woman, Maxwell, who was the Judas that delivered all these young women to these guys. It's not just it's not just men, but men, liberty, the one group of people I would never try to defend is men. Because when women say, men suck, I got a hard time disagreeing with them. There are good men certainly in the world. By the way, we started a show with them, Paul Harrison. There are plenty of good men in the world, but yeah, there, yeah, this shouldn't be a woman's problem. You're so right. It should be on us as government and us as men to stand up and teach our sons the appropriate behavior and not. And not worried about teaching our daughters. And it was always a losing battle with me anyway. I would say to my youngest daughter when she went out to school, "What do you say if a boy tries to kiss you?" And she would say, "I say, if you try to kiss me, my daddy will come and punch you in the nose." And I would say, "Good girl." And then I would say to my older daughter, "What do you say if a boy tries to kiss you?" And she would go, "Oh, it's okay. You can kiss me. My daddy will never find out." So, it was a struggle with me that never quite worked. Well, we've run out of time. And let me just say that to Liberty, who's been kind enough to be on my show every week, thank you so much. And thank you for everybody out there listening. We'll be back right after Christmas, hopefully with an exciting guest. And I wish you all the merriest of Christmases. And before we play our song, let me give you the last word there. What do you want to say to me?
Senator Brown, you are truly one of my greatest inspirations. It's such an honor to be here on this show, as always. I love our conversations and I hope people will love them as well. And I wish to you and to all of our listeners a great holiday season and good time with the people you love if you can.
Perfectly said. And let me say, we're ending our song tonight with "My Hope for the World." And I think Liberty would probably agree with this. And I know Paul Harrison would. So this goes out to Paul. This is "Someday at Christmas" by Stevie Wonder. And everybody have a happy holiday. We'll see you.